Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Welcome to the Everything Action Cast for the week of July 5th, 2010. I'm your host, Zach, and joining me this week is Brian.
Welcome back.
Chris?
I mean, to me.
Yeah. We're supposed to say it to you, Brian.
Yeah, man.
I got it.
Chris?
Joke stealer. Aloha.
Yo. Me and Chris are going to be, like, restrained this week.
Good.
Hold it back.
hour and a half of Power Rangers this week. And also, back is Joe.
Hey guys, thanks for having me back.
Yep, anytime.
No problem.
So, why don't we get started with show and tell? Brian, why don't you start since you weren't here last week?
Not much has changed. The only thing I'm watching is Burn Notice.
Awesome.
I got hooked on the third episode of the first season, which is basically he does the favor for his landlord's waitress.
Yep.
And he builds like a little, you know, he turns his mom's garage into like a safe house. So. Just a cool show. I love the narration. The style with the whole, like, quick cuts and the kind of freeze frame was a bit annoying at first, but I think they kind of let back on it a little bit.
Yep. Also, like the freezing on people and, like, name giving their name and then, like, whatever, like, it's a description about them.
Barry, the money launderer.
Yep.
Yeah, I know.
They kind of do that in Good Guys, which is Matt Nix's other show, but instead of, like, people, it's places.
Cool. But, yeah, great show. Jeffrey Donovan is very good, leading man. Bruce Campbell, awesome, as always. As for episodes I liked the first season finale.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty good. I liked the one with Lucy Lawless as the assassin.
Yep.
That was a good one. I'm trying to think of the other ones. The one where he plays the Texas oil tycoon's son. And he has that southern accent.
Is that the one with the con people? The con,
yes.
Con artists?
Yeah. He cons the con artists, yep.
Yeah, Jacob from Lost.
It was like a yacht bull of him. It was like a guy, and like he's supposed to be like his female and male henchman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, did you see the one where like Michael acts like the really like nerdy guy who's trying to get medicine?
Yeah,
like,
that's another one that's great.
Like, he's don't like, you know who that is? It's Chuck Finley.
We'll take care of Finley. That's going to be my new alias from now on. I like that name. Yep. Yeah, that was a good one. What else? No, I like it. You know, so far it's pretty good. The second season, like you said, it's revved up a little bit.
Yep.
It's slightly better.
Is it bringing, like, Carla and everything?
Yep. And I like the whole on-again-off-again relationship with him and Fee. Adds a nice little interesting dynamic to the series. I like how she's just kind of a shoots first, ask questions later type of girl. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of cool. Good show. I know. I really like it. And then I'll probably be, by the next podcast, probably be all caught up. Who knows?
Awesome.
I'm just burning through them big time.
Burning through Burn Notice.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
All right.
But that's all I'm watching.
Okay. All right, Chris, why don't you go next?
To prepare myself for 4th of July, I did patriotic movies. So I sat around watching ID4, Independence Day 4.
Yes.
I watched The Patriot, you know,
also
Mel Gibson.
Patriotic.
That's probably Patriot is probably like the most patriotic movie ever made.
Yeah.
Because
I don't know, man. It compared the two, it's like Mel Gibson taking on the British or
not just British. It's like the most insanely British, evil British people in movie history.
Oh no, they made him seem like the true evil of Britain.
Like they're either sadistic assholes, just like arrogant douchebags.
I mean, if you slapped on like a tan suit, some swastikas, and a red banner, they're Nazis.
Yeah, pretty much. Or give them some like horns and demon tails.
Snake tongues.
Yep.
Yeah, that's about it. Everything else is pretty much non-action related. I tried to watch that movie Brian recommended me about that guy dragging around a dead girl and everything.
Yeah, how was that?
I tried to stomach through it. Like, I tried to download it, and I was watching as it was downloading. I was like, I gotta wait. I'm clearly not drinking enough to watch this movie yet.
I know you don't really have access, but it's on Netflix streaming, so you can always watch it again at some other point.
Is streaming count as instant?
Yeah, instant. That's what instant
is.
Yes.
That's what it is.
Yes.
What's the name of the movie, out of curiosity? Because now I kind of want to see this.
I forget. I saw it on Reddit, so.
Hold on, let me go to like my Facebook where you posted the link and was like, you gotta watch this. And I was like, yes, I do.
I said right up your alley, and I was right.
Listen.
Quirky,
I'm not ashamed
duck
of
comedy,
my
romantic comedy.
A romantic comedy. It's training, okay? It's training for the ultimate showdown when I get married. My wife wants to show me, like, insanely shitty girly movies all my life. And, like, I am tied down to that.
You gotta go punch for punch with her, man.
I know. She makes me watch, like, a fucking romantic comedy. I make her watch.
I spit on your grave.
I don't know. I need to, like, humiliate her then. Be like, ah, no women are in this fucking movie at all. Ah.
She's gonna
I like you, Chris. Keeping it old school.
Mm-hmm.
keep that wife in place. You show her.
Right, so, before we get further into me showing training porn to combat romantic comedy, the movie that Brian's talking about is Camille, or Camilla?
Camille, maybe?
Camille? Camille? C-A-M-I-L-L-E?
Sure, Camille.
Brian, did you watch this movie, Brian?
No, I didn't. Okay. I saw it on Reddit. Somebody posted it, so I thought this has Chris written all over it. But
I was going to ask you how it compared to Heavy Petting.
Oh, this is beyond a guy trying to fuck a dog. This all is right,
explain the premise, please.
Of what?
Okay. Forced to marry Camille, the sheriff's niece paroles Silas.
Silas, yep.
Silas, who's played by James Franco, takes his bride to Niagara Falls for a honeymoon, where he plans to escape to Canada. Certain the trip will rehabilitate Silas, Camille remains enthusiastic, even after she dies in a crash. Now Silas must deal with Camille's denial about her death and her slow decomposition. David Carradine co-stars in this quirky romance comedy. Why do they put that at the end of the blur?
Because they'll sell it.
It's Weekend at Bernie's meets romantic comedy. How can you go wrong?
It sounds like American Werewolf in London or something, where like the friend is like constantly decomposing through the whole movie.
That's cool and all, having like a slowly decrepiting friend, but like I watched the beginning. I watched the part where she fucking dies in the car crash, and it's stupid because they have a stupid argument, and it's like she's backseat sassing him. And all James Franco's like, I get the fuck to Canada. And then the car crash happens. And then she's just like, still bitching at him, even in death. And at the point, I was like, I can't watch this. Like, this is what happens when you're married?
Well, that's the plight of man, Chris.
So, I don't know. One day, I'll watch it again. Like, because it's still like halfway downloaded on my computer. But I just can't finish it. I can't waste the bandwidth. So, Joe, like, put that on Netflix and I'll watch that.
Oh, it's done.
That's what I was watching this week.
Yeah. I'm kind of disappointed you didn't watch, like, Rocky IV or something.
It was on TV, but I've seen so many Rockies movies that it wasn't even the good one. It was, like, Rocky II.
Yeah.
Where like, it's not patriotic, but still, like, he just beats a black guy up. Like, he beats the same black guy up from the first movie. Then the second movie, he beats the same black guy again. And the third movie, he beats Clubber Lang. And then what, it takes like two sequels later to beat up like another black guy?
You just want to see Sylvester Stallone beat the shit out of a black guy. Just say
I think Sylvester Stallone wanted to see Sylvester Stallone beat the crap out of a black guy. But they're Sly, you gotta cool down for a few movies, buddy. Why don't you switch to some like Red or something?
No. In the fifth movie,
Hulk Hogan instead.
Yeah.
No. He beat up a black guy in the fifth movie. The Don King kind of look up
Mason,
guy.
Mason the Line Dixon.
Yeah, he uppercuts him after beating Tommy Gunn.
Yep. Oh, wait, Tommy Gunn? That was, like, the fifth one. It wasn't even in, like, a ring. It was just, like, in the street.
Right. It was like just no holds barred. He hits a black guy.
I thought we all came to terms that Rocky V does not exist.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I get through life. You know, it just goes from 4 to 6. That's fine with me.
Much more tolerable.
Seriously.
Yep, so kind of lacking your patriotic movie marathon, Chris, but...
It was 3/4 good, you know?
Mm-hmm. All right, so, Joe, do you have anything for Show and Tell this week?
Yeah, actually, I was in Booth Bay Harbor, Maine this past weekend, and not a whole lot was going on, but I was fortunate enough to find a little dive bar that was showing UFC 116. And for those of you keeping score, I am a diehard MMA fan and definitely a Brock Lesnar fanboy. So I was very, very pleased to be able to see him choke Carwin out, which was very exciting for me.
Awesome.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I mean,
I saw the prelims. They were good.
Yeah, you know, I actually missed the prelims because I was at dinner and I had like just come to terms, like I had just made peace with the fact that I was going to miss this fight that I've been waiting for since last November. And then on the way back to the hotel, I just like saw it, like it was like a sign just like illuminating out of this one little shitty bar. And it was great. I think, you know, after the layoff that Brock had, it was really impressive to see him add another dimension to his game, because I know I was the last person in the world who thought that he would make a beast like Shane Carwin, or anyone else for that matter, you know, submit with any sort of choke or submission ever. I mean, I thought he was just going to be like another bigger, stronger Tito Ortiz and just rely on ground and pound for the rest of his career. But, I mean, he showed that he can adapt. I mean, in the first round, he basically got his ass handed to him because the boxing was not working for him. But he went with what he knew, which is the wrestling, and I think he shocked everyone. He even got a submission of the night, which was like a $75,000 bonus for him. So I think that's two very recent submissions of the nights that we never saw coming, with Mirko Krokop choking out Pat Barry, and then with Brock Lesnar submitting Shane Carwin by arm triangle. I mean, it was just outstanding.
Was Brock less douchey during his like interview?
You know what? I actually dug the douchiness because I hate Frank Mir. But, you know, after the emotions were down, I was like, wow, that was kind of douchey. So I was really hoping that he wasn't going to do that. And, you know, after this fight, he said that it wasn't about him, that it was about his family, his trainers. And what happened to him was a miracle, which, you know, I agree, because nobody just comes back from that like the way he did. And he said that he stood before the crowd as a humbled champion. And I have to say, I like it when people are clapping for him and I'm not like the one douchebag in a room who's like, yeah, Brock, fuck him up, bro, you know?
Yeah, because last time he was like channeling like 80s wrestling, and
I was
waiting for people to like throw like paper towels and like beer cups at him.
Dude, I was waiting for the Ultimate Warrior to do a run-in, man. That was intense.
I'm going to go home, drink a Bud Light, because Coors Light doesn't pay me.
Oh, yeah, man. He went nuts. But you know what? In fairness, before Dana White even put the belt on him, I saw him lean forward and whisper something to Brock, which is probably like, you know, we have your family. So I think they knew that. Because, I mean, let's face it. Brock Lesnar's the kind of guy that when he's on the mic, no one's taking that mic from him. Mm-hmm. Unless they've got like a fucking net and or like, you know, a cannon. So, you know, I think they're like, Brock, come now. Let's play nice.
Yep.
And he did a good job. He even joked around in the post-fight press conference. He said, someone asked him what he was going to do now, what was in his future. And as if rehearsed, he said, well, I'm going to go home and watch some direct TV and enjoy a nice cold Bud Light. And I mean, those are their two like primary sponsors. So that was pretty funny. But, yeah, now next up for Brock Lesnar is probably going to be in September at UFC 119. He's going to be fighting Cain Velasquez, so we'll see how that goes.
Mm-hmm. Like, has Cain Velasquez even gotten out of, like, the first round?
Well, I don't think Cain Velasquez is going to look very good in that fight. I'm not going to lie to you. Shane Carwin was a totally different animal. I mean, this is the one guy in the UFC's heavyweight division that is comparable in size to Brock. And where Brock is so phenomenally talented with the wrestling, this guy, Shane Carwin, was just a knockout machine. I mean, he had 12 fights professionally in MMA. I believe, five or four or five in the UFC, where none of them had gone out of the first round, and he won them all by knockout. So, I mean, I think that was going to be Brock's greatest challenge, and he was able to adapt to it, you know, get the fight to the ground and choke him out. And to be honest, I don't think Cain Velasquez is as good as a boxer as Shane Carwin is, and he's certainly not as good of a wrestler as Brock Lesnar is. So I think it's going to be a very rough night for Cain Velasquez.
All right. Well, that sounds pretty awesome. So, Brian, Chris, you guys can wake up now.
No, I'm interested. It's like, MMA is this new, like, fad. Not a new fad, but, like, I used to watch a little bit back when it was, like, no holds bar. Like, the ref would just, like, daze in and out to, like, safeguard the fighters from, like, killing each other. Like, physically, one person just, like, dying on live television.
Like, he's, like, eating a ham sandwich while one of the guys is, like, beating his face in with, like, bare knuckles, you know.
Right, this is before they had to do, like, background checks and, like, made sure someone was fully trained, not just some dude just, like,
whoa. You guys ever watch Tough Man on FX?
Oh, God.
Where just, like, any redneck drunk could just, like, wander into the ring and have, like, a boxing match.
What? That's a show?
Yep, it was.
That was short-lived, yeah.
It was just,
after the first fatality, they're just like, uh-oh.
It was just, like, every once in a while you have, like, this, like, clearly this guy knows how to box, and just, like, this, like, drunk guy just, like, wandering to the boxing ring, and he just, like, gets his face, like, destroyed. It's pretty awesome.
I think we should bring that back. Is Jose Canseco an MMA fighter now?
Huh?
Jose Canseco is a douchebag.
Yep.
But he's an MMA fighter. First.
Well, I wouldn't go as far as to say he's an MMA fighter. I'd say that he's got some, you know, VH1, like, loves him because he's a washed-up celebrity.
Yep.
So I think that his name is still a big draw. So, I mean, he might be training MMA, but I think if you put him up against anyone who's either the same size or knows what they're doing, it's going to be a very, very bad experience for Jose Canseco. Because he fought like an 18-year-old kid, I think. And, like, his second fight ever. I mean, the kid, not his second fight ever. So,
yeah.
And I don't know.
Wasn't Shaq going to be, like, an MMA fighter, too?
Yeah, see?
Oh, man. You know, I know Shaq.
Shaq Fu, though.
He does know Shaq Fu.
That's true. I mean, Shaq, he trains MMA, but it's not, like, to fight. It's just to, like, not be fat.
Yeah.
So it's more of a, like, Taibo approach to MMA. But I don't know, man. Shaq's a pretty big dude. I mean, I wouldn't want to get fucking kicked in the head by Shaq. Yeah, he's got that range.
He can throw, like, purple energy discs.
I know, man.
Flaming basketballs?
Yep.
Wait, and to laminate from last podcast, the guy who played Tommy Oliver from Power Rangers, isn't, like, that guy Jason David Frank, like, a fucking MMA fighter,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, actually, he is an MMA fighter. He actually co-founded the equipment and clothing company Jesus Didn't Tap. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but if you ever see a shirt that says Jesus Didn't Tap with the T in tap being a cross, that's his company, because apparently he's, like, really super-duper Catholic. And
really?
Yeah, he co-founded this company, and, you know, he's done pretty well, though. I mean, his record is pretty good. He's won his last few fights. You know,
I don't what is he in, though? Is he on, like, Strikeforce or something, or
no, he's in, you know, there are so many little promotions, and it's not that they're little, it's just that they're not, like, on TV. And they're more like regional things, like back in the day with pro wrestling, how it used to be like, oh, this is the Southwest territory, and, like, everything was territories.
Yeah.
I mean, that's sort of like how it is now with MMA, because you have Dream over in Japan. You have the UFC, obviously, which is, like, you know, not to compare them, but it's like the WWE of mixed martial arts right now.
WEC.
And then, right, you have the WEC, which is owned by Zuffa. So
it's like the minor leagues for UFC.
It's kind of like the minor leagues, but the good thing about the WEC is that they have weight classes that the UFC doesn't.
Yeah.
So you have the lighter guys down there that at least it gives them an outlet. So it's not like, you know, they're just waiting to bulk up or whatever to get into the UFC. My girlfriend's brother actually trains under Davidius Torosevicius, which I know is a mouthful to say, but he's a WEC fighter in the lightweight division. So he's a pretty
I was guessing
guy.
Architect.
Yeah.
It's like, should I learn that in history, art history?
Yeah, maybe. Just call him Dave. Dave T. And, yeah, he's pretty awesome. But, yeah, those WEC guys are no joke, man. Like, they're the lighter weight classes, but, man, they punch and kick like fucking Chun-Li. from Street Fighter. Just like, bah, 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 and then you don't know what happened, and then you're embarrassed when you lose.
All right, so why don't we move on, because I could talk about this all night, but...
Yeah, man, no problem.
But, yeah, UFC is definitely awesome.
Without a doubt.
So I guess what I was watching this week, I saw, movie-wise, they recommended it on the Slash Filmcast last week, so I watched Running Scared with Paul Walker.
Very nice.
Awesome.
Yeah, that movie is like, it's like a crank took itself like an iota seriously. Because you still have like all like the crazy characters and like situations of Crank, but it's like much more gritty and serious.
Yeah.
And it's, some of it's a little bit more fucked up, like the Elizabeth Mitchell and her like character where like they have like they like kidnap kids. Like film
the
it.
Yeah, the pedophile, yeah. But, like the fucking film
it's
it.
It's so weird. It like turned into a different movie at that point.
It did.
I was like, wait, hold on. Like, what the fuck just happened?
Well, half the movie is just like that kid's like crazy adventures. Like he holds up the pimp and then it's like he's running with the prostitute and then like he gets like caught up with like the crazy pedophile people and then...
Honestly, like, that kid actor, I fucking hate him.
He's
like,
in everything.
I've seen him in so many... I know! He was in fucking X-Men.
Yeah.
He was in this movie where he pretended to be some, like, dead guy, but it turns out he was just, like, a really good liar. He was with, About a Boy.
Yep.
Fuck this kid.
He's that guy of kids.
Yeah, he is.
Chris is gonna go find him and beat the shit out of him one day.
Get Mina's from Hollywood Party and just, like, throw down with him. Be like, you didn't shoot the pimp. If you shot the pimp, half the movie would be over already.
Yeah.
Dude, whatever. It's a movie. Let go. You let go.
Try to take my mutant powers now, punk. Yeah. And actually, Paul Walker actually gives, like, a good performance in that movie.
Without driving a car?
Well, he does drive a car, but not, like, not too fast or too furious.
Hey, Brian, they're talking about your movie.
I know,
my ears are burning.
And also, I love, like, the end where it's, like, the blacklight hockey game.
Oh, my God. You know, that's clearly one of those, like, movies that somebody thought of that sequence and was like, wouldn't it be cool if this happened, and then the rest of the movie was written around that?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know what I'm talking about, see every single Transporter movie that's come out. Because it's clearly just a bunch of guys in a room that are like, dude, would it be fucking great if, like, there was an oil slick and this dude had to put, like, bicycle pedals on his feet to, like, run through it? Then he, like, kicks this shit out of, like, 8 or 9 guys.
Which makes no sense, but...
Yeah. That'd be sick.
Yep.
We can make a movie like that?
Yeah, let's just write a script, dude. It doesn't have to make sense. People will watch anything.
Give me Statham.
I've got him on speed dial, bro.
Well, they're drinking, like, Red Bulls. Yeah. Snorting cocaine.
Watching UFC.
Yep.
You see, that's how I think Neville Dean Taylor come up with their ideas as well.
Man, I can't wait to see what they do for Ghost Rider.
Oh, Jesus.
So, let's see what else. I was also, like, digging through Hulu this week, and I watched all 5 episodes of Afro Samurai.
Very nice.
Which I never saw before, but because I'm not really the biggest anime fan, but like certain kinds, I like the Animatrix, and like I think I like this a lot because of Samuel Jackson.
You only watch. He plays like 3 roles in that movie in that show,
mm-hmm.
So it's like an overdrive of him.
And also, it kind of looks like
it's the same company that does the Boondocks.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah, they took a fucking year and a half off just to make that. It's like a love-hate thing I have with them about that.
Mm-hmm.
Love me some Boondocks.
Mm-hmm. I haven't watched any of this season yet.
It's been
up and down. I mean, it's been one episode's like really good, then the other episode is like, huh?
The Tyler Perry episode was just hilarious.
That was phenomenal.
I thought they nailed him so good on that.
Without a doubt.
I like the prison rape one where the guy Robert Fears like booty, being raped.
Was it the booty warrior?
Wasn't
it? Yeah, it is my booty, and you cannot have it.
Was it like a couple seasons ago, or was that?
No, they bring it up again.
I think of Tom. Because there was that.
Yeah, well, they revisited
that. That was the Xbox one, wasn't it? The Xbox murder or whatever.
That was really good.
The Madden Murderer or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And then, let's see, last thing I saw, I started watching a couple episodes of Jack of All Trades with Bruce Campbell. Which is like,
oh wow,
came out in like the height of like Saturday afternoon syndicated adventure.
Like Xena and Hercules.
Yep.
Cleopatra. 25.
Yep. Yeah. What was it? I'm trying to think, but wasn't? Oh yeah, Beastmaster and stuff, and like.
Oh lord.
The Lost World.
The Highlander TV show.
Yep.
Nightman.
Nightman.
Johnny fucking Domino. That was my boy.
Was it like Mutant X or something? What was that? It was like,
wasn't there like a new wasn't there like a Tarzan show too, where like he came to New York?
I think there was for like 4 minutes actually. Like I think they pulled the plug 4 minutes into the show. So I remember watching it being like, I'll give this a chance. Then it was just like never on again, and I completely forgot about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Jack of All Trades is like the goofiest show ever made. Because it's like
it's a bit, but go on.
It's just Bruce Campbell. It's like an American spy, and he goes to like this crazy like tropical island, and he's like fight like the most effeminate French people ever to like stop to stop like Vern Troyer from taking over America. And it's like it's like more sitcom than action show, but it's just it's great cheese. Hey,
you can't not watch it when you start watching.
I know.
Wait, Joe, since you watch a lot more like Xena than me,
Wait, what are you basing that on, sir? I have never once watched a full episode of Xena Warrior Princess.
What?
Never. I'm just saying, I can't get through it because I hate it.
Is it her yelling?
I think it's the raging like feminist undertones, where it's like, ah, I'm gonna kill this monster. Please go vote if you are a female. It's just too much for me, man. It's like I get it. She's a female. She's empowered. That's cool, but like. Let me make the connections, you know?
Well, I'm saying, like, wasn't the character, like, spawned from, like, some sort of subplot of that or something?
She was on Hercules.
Yeah, she
was.
There was, like, a Hercules, like, I think it was, like, a two-parter of Hercules where, like, she showed up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was, like, Hercules and Xena and then Jack of All Trades, because it was maybe the same, like
Warner
Brothers.
They're all produced by Sam Raimi.
All were.
All produced by Sam Raimi.
Which would explain Spider-Man 3. Yeah.
All right. Kind of makes sense to like how it became Spider-Man, and then Spider-Man blew up in his face.
Yep. Now he's producing Spartacus.
He just has to do the next Evil Dead with Bruce Campbell, and then retire and never have to work another day in his life ever again.
Mm-hmm.
He's like fighting the inevitable, you know what I mean?
Well, Dragon Hell was good.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. I'm just saying, like, no matter what he makes, the question he's always going to be asked is, so when's the next Evil Dead coming out?
I might go for Darkman.
Another, a new Darkman?
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yep.
See?
Let's reboot that. That'd be great.
We should.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Let's make Nicolas Cage Darkman.
Whoa, my face is melting.
Why does it work? Every day I run on around New York, either for Nicolas Cage to approach me as the Ghost Rider, or Nicolas Cage to approach me as a Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Or Big Daddy. Oh, child.
Chris, you're gonna be my apprentice, man. We're gonna learn magic.
I'm the sorcerer.
Now and then, I make you grow Chris a mustache gonna, like me.
Not the burrs!
He's gonna approach you as the bad lieutenant and offer you some crack.
Yep.
His soul's still dancing.
Alright.
Oh, what an okay movie.
A bad lieutenant?
Yeah.
It was awesome.
You know, that was one of the most blatantly okay movies I've seen. Because I didn't hate it and I didn't love it, but when it was done, it was like, I am satisfied. And I just turned off everything and went to bed. It was great.
I was like, Nicolas Cage on crack, 5 stars.
Yeah, exactly.
that did it.
Iguanus,
I think it was more of a documentary than anything else, so.
Iguanus in the camera. That's 5 stars.
I watched Nicolas Cage win the lottery, and I watched Nicolas Cage be on crack. I'm pretty much done with the whole spectrum of Nicolas Cage.
Pretty much.
I watched him rock the mandolin.
You poor, unfortunate soul.
I haven't really watched that movie. I'm just saying. So, why don't we move on to news? Because there's quite a bit this week. Yep. Probably the biggest one is that Steve Carell is leaving The Office after this coming season.
Good, it's getting stale.
I don't know what to think about it. You know, it's kind of like The Simpsons. at this point for me. It's weird because like I want them to end on a good note, but if Steve Krell goes, it's gonna like fall apart. I think
pretty much, yeah. I would be like more upset if like Community and Parks and Recreation weren't like fucking awesome. So
yeah,
I might jump onto the Parks and Recreation only because like it's like The Office. That's why I wasn't into it, because I'll wait for like one of them to die first, and then I'll jump on the other one to like Survivor.
Season two is light years ahead of season one.
That's good.
Yeah,
it's really good. Last season it was better than The Office at times.
Definitely.
Wow.
Yeah, it was.
You know what they do to save money is combine both of them together. You know.
Oh my God, Ron Swanson is the manager of Dunder Mifflin.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome. So you guys think?
Boom! Let's pitch it.
So you guys think like The Office should
pitch it to NBC?
So you guys think The Office should like end after Steve Carell leaves, or you think they can like salvage it?
I think they're gonna try and salvage it, but it's not gonna be as good.
Right. It'll be like season 9 of Scrubs that like no one watched.
Yeah.
Like
that's a good example.
Like who would you want to see like replace Michael Scott? Like the obvious answer is Jim. Like that'd be the safe bet that they do. But
no, then it'd just be like a really good Office. It wouldn't be like funny. Jim would be like, I got shit to do. Let's get this work done.
Mm-hmm.
But if Dwight became the general manager, like it'd just be weird because it's like
he'd just like fire everyone.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking like it would never ever happen. But like, what if like Ricky Gervais came on as the manager?
Oh my God.
David Brent.
No, that would be
on.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. Ricky Gervais was like, hello.
That'd be great.
I'm from the English branch.
Wait, they're not called. Are they still called Duff Mifflin? Or
they're Dunder,
do they change?
They're Dunder Mifflin, but they're a division of Sabre.
Right.
Which is like a printer company. Yeah.
They could have it where Sabre buys out the British office.
What the hell did the British company even make in the show?
God, I don't know. I know at some point.
Were they like an auto parts maybe or something? Or
they're still like a paper company.
Were they? I think they like toner or something.
Something like textile. Early 90s.
Yeah.
Late mid 90s where it's like just absolute. I don't know. It doesn't really matter. The comedy was still pretty good.
Yeah. So, Joe, any thoughts on this?
You know, I like The Office. I don't really watch it like very consistently, but what I've seen has been very funny. To be totally honest, I don't know how Steve Carell has lasted on that show as long as he has, just because of the other, you know, stardom that he has from his movie roles. I mean, he's not, you know, some small-time actor. Like, movie companies are willing to invest a lot of money into his work.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm glad for the sake of the fans of the show that he's been around this long. But, you know, I think it was an inevitable move. I always thought that, you know, The Office isn't the sort of show where the ratings were just going to suddenly drop and it was going to, like, stop being, you know, popular or stop being The Office and everyone was going to leave at the same time. I sort of had a feeling that him leaving would, you know, happen before that. So, I mean, I hope for the sake of everyone that likes it that they can find either a logical replacement or just find a way to go on without him and still have it be fresh and, you know, entertaining. But in a way, I would equate that with like removing, you know, Kramer from Seinfeld and having it try to continue. Like, I don't know how they're going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it reminds me of? And it's probably not as severe, but I would have to say it reminds me of George Clooney in ER. Like, he became, you know, a huge movie star, and Steve Carell is pretty big movie star. That they just kind of conflicted with each other, and you know, it's obvious that he wants to leave because, you know, not only I think in his head he's playing it out like, you know, I've, you know, done pretty much everything I can with this character, and I think that's the way he should think because it's true.
Yeah.
But also that, you know, I'm, you know, a huge, gonna be potentially a huge movie star. I'm pretty big right now, and I want to, you know, further my career on that front, and I can't do that if I'm tied down to a TV series.
Yeah. Well, as long as they bring Holly back for, like, the season. and like, that'd be a good conclusion, so.
Yep.
Wait, who, you think he's going to end with Holly?
They hinted at the end. At the end of the season finale.
Right, oh, yeah, it's because they want her, where is she, like, in Connecticut or something?
Yeah.
Nashua, New Hampshire.
Yep.
Ah.
Dating Rob Hubel.
Okay. Yes. AJ.
AJ. He's such an awesome douchebag.
Yep.
So, next bit of news is that we know who our new Spider-Man is going to be. And it's Andrew Garfield.
Who?
That's what I said.
Huh? James Garfield, isn't he dead?
Well, he's like a British actor. He's been in, like, his biggest role was, like, in The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus.
As guy number two.
Yeah.
Well, not... the best of the guys.
Apparently he's, like, his character's name, like, Anton or something.
I never saw it.
And he's been in a bunch of, like, he's been in, like, a Spike Jones video. And then, like, Boy A. I don't know. A bunch of other stuff.
He's going to be an awesome Spider-Man.
Yeah.
It's not Zac Efron, so I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah.
True.
It's like, would you rather eat dog shit or cat shit? Either way, you're still going to eat shit, you know?
Highly possible.
Yeah. Well, what would you guys want to see from, like, from the new Spider-Man reboot?
Acting?
Yes, that's a given, Chris.
Edgier.
Edgier?
Yep.
Like Ultimate Spider-Man?
Maybe not that edgy, but just kind of darker, a little more adult themes.
Mm-hmm.
A little less corny would be nice.
How about dance sequences? No dance sequences.
No jazz hands.
Well, Mark Webb is directing it, so...
Spider-Man makes my dreams come true.
Like, who do you guys want to see as, like, the villain? You think they're going to bring, like, Green Goblin back for, like, this one, or?
No.
I want the spot. I want someone so obscure, and they need to reboot him to look, like, cool.
Like, La Tarantula?
La Tarantula was awesome. That would be great. He was pretty cool. He had a deadly foot. If he got to you, he could stab you.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That was pretty cool.
He had a badass mustache.
I want to see, like, Mysterio or something. Or Kraven, the Hunter.
Kraven, yeah.
What about, like, Ultimate Kraven, where he's, like, a reality show host? He's, like, a crocodile hunter?
That makes more sense, but the Calypto thing was kind of weird they did in the Ultimate Universe.
Or, like, Ultimate Deadpool, where he's, like, he has a reality show?
I didn't like he had, like, a cyber brain, and his costume was kind of cool, but it was, like, too baggy compared to, like, the original costume.
What about, like, Electro?
Having a supervillain that's, like, based on sort of element is, like, either a really good thing or a terrible thing. Like
Sandman, that didn't really work.
Sandman was, you just blow into him and you just, like, you just...
Get him wet.
What? Get him wet and he's fucking useless.
There's some mud.
Same thing for Electro, just get him wet. He's fucking useless.
Yeah. Or there's, like, Vulture.
Actually, that wouldn't be so bad. But he steals is, like, cosmetic shit. There's nothing, like, what the fuck's he gonna steal? Like, rob a bank? Like, would you really want to go back to, like, basics that much?
Rob a bank, yeah.
Like, you gotta get someone who's, like, really Carnage. There you go. That's a villain that has, like, he's, like, the Batman's Joker, because it's, like,
but then you gotta, like,
there's no reason what he does.
You gotta reintroduce, like, Venom, though.
Yeah.
That's true.
Here's the problem. I think that they shot themselves in the foot by rebooting. And the reason I say that is because, you know, the first Spider-Man movie was, you know, only about 10 years ago. So it's still fresh enough in people's minds for average Joe moviegoer to be like, hey, didn't we just see this?
Yep.
In terms of telling, you know, the story of Spider-Man's mythos, all that good stuff. Another thing is that as bad as Spider-Man 3 was, I don't think it's the sort of thing where you couldn't save the franchise. Because if you look at Spider-Man's, like, rogues gallery and all the storylines that hadn't even been touched yet, you could have certainly made just a better movie for the fourth movie. And I'm not saying it had to be Sam Raimi, but, I mean, you don't have to just reboot. And I think that that's, you know, sort of like the Control-Alt-Delete of Hollywood right now.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, things didn't go exactly the way we want them to. Let's reboot or remake or whatever. And I don't think you can reboot Spider-Man without redoing the Green Goblin, because he's really like Spider-Man's, you know, Joker, if we're going to make a Batman comparison. So I don't really think you can just start off Spider-Man and have it matter that he's Spider-Man if he fights someone like Kraven? And obviously he can't just go to Carnage or Venom because, you know, he has to be Spider-Man first.
Yeah.
So, I mean, call me crazy. Maybe they should just follow the comics and say, hey, how should we start Spider-Man? Well, how does Amazing Fantasy number 15 or whatever it was start? But they won't do that. And another thing is that I think what Brian was saying, how he wants it to be darker, I think that's kind of dangerous because then you risk average Joe moviegoer just saying, oh, well, they're just trying to be like Batman. They're trying to be like Batman Begins in The Dark Knight, even if that's not the case. Because I like Dark Spider-Man, but I think that the big draw about Spider-Man is that he's sort of like he's a manic superhero. You know, like Spider-Man's either very wisecracking and very upbeat and like, you know, everyone's favorite, or he's super brooding and lonely and depressed. And you know what? I think it's okay to have a movie that's both, but I don't think we'll ever get that. I think they tried that with Spider-Man 3 and, you know, I still have scars.
Well, they just tried to do so much shit with Spider-Man 3. We're just like, we have three villains and Gwen Stacy's here and alien symbiote costume and...
They didn't even let it breathe.
No, they didn't.
And I thought
not even a little.
They introduced Venom, and I thought they threw him out as quick as they introduced him.
Yep.
And that was just a painful thing to watch because that had the potential to be much better than it was.
It should have been. The real problem is Sam Raimi didn't want to use Venom. And it comes down to that studio did the same thing that Warner Brothers did to Joel Schumacher, where it became, okay, you need to have X amount of villains, and you need to have X amount of costumes, and, you know, X, Y, and Z, because they have marketing deals with, like, toy companies and merchandisers and things like that. And in a way, that's really what happened to Spider-Man, because they strong-armed him into putting Venom in it. And I would rather have one more movie without Venom than have him just be fucking thrown into it like he was and not even treated like, you know, the good villain that he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, and I agree with you on the point that they could have salvage what was left. I mean, yeah, Spider-Man 3 was pretty bad, but it's no Batman and Robin. It's not something that it's something you can kind of pick up the pieces, and put it back together.
Just like limit the number of villains. Like there's still like a bunch of like awesome villains in Spider-Man's rogue gallery that you could have used and stuff. So
I'm still waiting for a Marvel movie that has Rhino in it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's the perfect like
or Scorpion
dumb. Brawny villain. Oh, yeah, Scorpion would have been great. I mean, I know Shocker had been in the video game.
He was in every fucking video game.
I know. And so was Mysterio. Or at least he was in two of them. But, I mean, that doesn't mean that, you know, you can't use it. You know, that doesn't mean you can't use the villain. Because when it comes down to it, the game is adapted from the movie, not vice versa. And, oh, yeah, what about the Lizard? That was like the biggest cock tease in movie history.
No, they're setting up for three movies.
Three movies, and then guess what? Reboot. Sorry. Never going to happen. We'll never know what that Lizard could have been like.
That is a shame. So, moving on. We got a trailer last week for the American remake of Let the Right One In, which is called Let Me In, which is last year's hit vampire movie that didn't involve sparkles or werewolves. That's from Sweden.
It was good.
Brian, you saw it?
Yep, it was very, very good.
Okay. Did you watch the trailer for the new one?
Not yet, no. And I'm very skeptical because it's been this for a while where I watch a like original movie and then like 2 weeks later I read an article that they're going to remake it. Same thing happened to me with Death at a Funeral.
Oh, God.
The original is really good. I do not want to touch the remake with a 10-foot pole, but I don't know. It's I'm on the fence. Everything I've read about it so far looks pretty good. I haven't seen the trailer yet.
The trailer
yet,
so is pretty really horrible.
Doesn't make me feel good. But the original is very good. Just creepy, but also touching in a way.
Mm-hmm.
It has the dramatic aspect that Twilight so desperately wishes to achieve but never reaches.
Yeah, it tries to be. It is like the I'm gonna say like as best as I could. It's kind of like the Edgar Allan Poe versus like the R.L. Stine of creepy horrorness. You know. where this is actually like True Grit, where it's like, okay, I don't know what's going on. It tries to hint at certain like deep details that eventually reveals itself, but American remakes, they dull it down, they dilute it to make it seem more appealing to like a larger audience.
Yep.
So, because I watched the original too, and I don't think Joe or Zach, you've watched it yet.
No, I haven't seen it.
No.
Right. So, the original, again, it's a foreign movie, and I don't know what's the difference in filmmaking between America and against like everyone else, but like, it goes nuts with it. It's like four different scripts go in, and like the ultimate script comes out, where it's just like it's confusing, and it's like twist, and it's gory, and it's just like, they made a movie about this? Like, really? It's really hard to describe too, because I don't want to give too much away, and I can't tell if like the American movie will be the same, because sometimes
probably
it's
not.
Like probably not.
No,
they're gonna make it more straightforward.
Yeah.
I almost guarantee it.
Then it becomes some sort of awkward, like, My Little Vampire movie.
Yep.
Yeah, you nailed it.
Wait, was it? Wasn't it like My Little Vampire or something?
Yeah, it was a kid's movie where,
that kid from Stuart Little was a vampire.
And fucking Jerry Maguire,
Yeah. I just remember that. Wow.
What a good movie that was.
Yeah, like, that. That movie was so, like, all the dark elements of, like, a regular horror monster. Like, it's a classic monster. It's a vampire monster. And they water down for kids to understand. But in National Waters, like, that's nothing. Kids' movies are just, like, half, maybe more as gory as a regular horror movie here, you know? Like, they go to extremes.
Fucking, like, Watership Down. Like, that cartoon.
Twisted.
So,
like, Japan goes nuts. Like, their kids' movies scare, like, American kids. So, like, I can't imagine what their, like, kid horror movies are like.
So, what do you think of the new trailer, Chris? I thought it was horrible, but...
I really appreciate the fake Nine Inch Nail soundtrack they have in the back when the movie plays that generic rock that you hear, like, some kid fucking around at Best Buy with.
And they found this nation, like, title cards.
Yeah, where it's, like, one small town... Like, one winter. Like, what? I really like that the cast is full of really random people.
Yep.
It has, what? Let me look it up a little bit.
Well, Elias Koteas, who played Casey Jones.
That guy just is in every other movie.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it since I've been, like, little.
And Chloe Moretz from Kick-Ass.
Oh, yeah. Like... I still can't, like, see her outside of Hit Girl for the next, I don't know, 8 years until she hits, like, puberty.
Yeah.
And gets the Hit Girl spinoff movie.
Mm-hmm.
Hit Woman. And then leads the mass hysterica of women getting hit because it's, like, misleading.
Yeah. My God, Chris, you're a fucking prophet.
There's gonna be, like, a shirt that says Hit Woman, and it's gonna fucking riot.
God. So,
one can only hope.
So, Joe, what do you think of the trailer?
You know what? I haven't seen the original, even though I heard great things about it, and a lot of people seem to really like it. But, I mean, this trailer just doesn't look like a movie I'd see anyway. Like, it does, but it would be on, like, Showtime 2 at, like, 1 in the morning, because there's nothing better on.
Yep.
You know? And I know that Hollywood is very, very notorious for just remaking or altering, you know, foreign horror films especially. I mean, just look at, you know, The Ring, look at The Eye, you know, the list goes on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this is just another example of that, I guess, and the trend isn't stopping anytime soon, so am I going to rush to the theater to see it? Probably not. Is it going to be as good as the original? No. But who knows, maybe it could still have, you know, some of its own qualities about it that make it worth seeing. Because I know that at least The Ring... And definitely The Eye. They were different enough so that they had some independence, but they still wouldn't have existed without the original foreign movie.
Yeah.
I actually really liked The Ring when I was, like, younger. Now I watch it, it's, like, stupid, but it really, like, scared me. It's, like, really subtle horror elements. The really weird, foreshadowing of things. Like, that was really good storytelling. Now it's kind of dumb because I'm older, but, like, I bet, like, if I show this to, like, a younger generation, like, you know, 8-9-year-olds, they're going to shit themselves, too. But I don't know about the eye. The eye was kind of dumb. The eye was like, look at Jessica Alba. She can't see, but she's so hot. Mm-hmm.
She's, like, screaming into an oven. So, anyway, why don't we move on to the last news story, which try to make this one quick because I know we could talk about this for, like, probably 3 hours, but 25th anniversary of Back to the Future was this past weekend, July 3rd.
Great Scott!
So, why don't we run down, just quick, favorite scene from Back to the Future, Brian.
All of them.
Okay. Anyone specifically, or?
I don't know.
Or is the movie just perfect?
I'd have to rack my brain, but it's probably my favorite trilogy or second favorite trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
I like the third one. Definitely not as good as the first two, but I still like the third one. And they were my favorite movies as a kid growing up. And, you know, the first one's just about as old as I am. So,
you're old.
I am old. So, yeah, I really, really like the movies.
Okay.
They're good.
Chris, your favorite scene?
It probably had to be, like, in the alternate Biff Tannen universe, where it's like he made Hill Valley, like, into some sort of, like...
That's the second one, Chris. We're talking about the first one.
Oh, shit. I thought, like, he was...
That doesn't have an anniversary yet.
Oh, I thought the trilogy. I was like, I'm kind of clear. I don't see them as, like, separate movies. I kind of see them as
just like one 6-hour movie.
They tell, like, one story.
Yeah.
You know, it's
really... Think about the first one. His mom tries to bone him.
His mom tries to bone him, yeah.
The mom tries to bone him in the car. How about that?
Yeah. Then, like...
Calvin Klein.
Calvin Klein,
she's like, it's like, this is my brother. And it's like, yeah, you're kind of off there, lady.
All right, so...
I like that scene.
You would, Chris.
Well, no, because it's a good chance, because, like, you know, Biff takes over, and then Marty McFly's dad comes in and breaks his hand on Biff's face. Yeah, that was a good scene.
Oh, I've seen this one before. It's a rerun.
Rerun.
I like that scene.
With the big brother from Wonder Years?
Yep.
His raccoon suit and hat?
Yes.
They're watching The Honeymooners on that one,
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, all right.
They wheel out the TV, am I right?
Yeah, because they just bought it.
Yep.
Who has two TVs? So, Joe, you got a favorite scene from Back to the Future?
Anytime the word McFly is said.
Especially by the principal.
Oh, my God. Undoubtedly, yes. So I think that might be too many to narrow down. But, I mean, I wouldn't say it's a perfect movie, but it's one of the most enjoyable, for sure. Consistently enjoyable over time. Like, it doesn't get stupid, you know, as you get older. You know, and even if it does, it's forgivable because it's still so freaking good.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, I don't know. Short and sweet, you know?
I'm going to have to say, like, the skateboard chase, which they duplicate, like, in the second one, but, like, where he, like, breaks the scooter off and, like... Start, like the first.
Was that real manure? No, it wasn't.
Yeah, that was the first, like...
It's just a movie.
That was the first, like, manure joke, which they would do, like, a bunch of times.
Three times.
And also, like, the opening, like, the title sequence where it's just, like, you don't know what's going on. It's, like, really ominous.
Oh, yeah.
The clock?
When you, like, place, like, that giant, ridiculous amp.
Yeah. But then there's, like... And then, like, the doc has, like, his, like, dog feeding machine going and stuff.
Yep.
So, yeah, Back to the Future.
Who could...
Oh, wait, go, Brian.
Who could forget? It's the power of love, Don.
Yes.
Dun, 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 nah, nah.
God bless Huey Lewis.
And the news.
And the news.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, and also the Enchantment Under the Sea dance, which is, like, parodied to death, but...
Yes. That's still awesome.
It's still awesome, yeah. It's your cousin, Marvin. Marvin Berry.
Berry? Listen to this.
We're going to rip off this white boy. He ain't going to know.
Yeah, so Back to the Future is great. And there's a Blu-ray like 25th anniversary set coming out in September.
October.
October? Okay.
That's what I read. I'm excited.
Man, like, yeah. 3 years ago, I bought like the Ultimate Collector Edition from Costco, and now like if I get a Blu-ray player, I gotta buy that too.
Mm-hmm.
And they're probably gonna double like, dip on the Blu-ray.
By like each individually or by the set?
Maybe something like that. I don't know. Somebody was telling me about it. But anyway, I will be buying the set in October, though.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So, moving on to new release roundup. Not a lot coming out this week. We got The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, another European movie that's getting remade.
Just like Twilight came out of absolutely nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's a popular book, apparently.
It's like the new Da Vinci Code or something.
Yeah.
It's actually, like, I actually read about it. It's really, like, it's not meant for kids at all whatsoever. So how's this, like, a Twilight thing?
Because it's just a book that suddenly everybody was talking about. That's also suddenly being remade into a movie.
Is it, like, going to be watered down for kids, or it's going to be, like, gritty? Because I actually watched a little clips and stuff. It's gritty.
Probably going to be maybe a little bit watered down for American audiences. I don't know. I haven't heard much about it. I don't know a lot about
no.
it. But all I know is that just like starting like last week, I started reading articles on the internet everywhere about it and how it's popular and how everybody loves it. That not necessarily a kid's thing, but how people love it.
Well, there's like
okay,
it's about like a hacker, and then there's like a murderer and stuff, and then.
Well, the book's about the girl who like helps some like
detective or something.
Man.
Yeah.
No, journalist. He's a journalist. Yeah. Well, it's probably because the book, like, because the guy died before he could finish really the whole book, so they just like helped. They just like clunked it together and made like the last two books out.
Yeah.
It was like what the girl, the dragonfly, the tattoo, and there's like the piercings, and like there's the girl with something else.
Girl kicked a hornet's nest, and there's like
yeah.
a girl played fire or something.
See, like there's this weird ass title, yeah. but like okay, oh the.
So, also this week, Brooklyn's Finest, from the guy director Training Day.
Awesome movie, Training Day, that is.
Yeah, not so much Brooklyn's Finest.
Brooklyn's Finest,
I don't think anyone saw it.
Richard Gere as a cop in a gritty movie, not too sold on that.
No.
Well, not- I did like Wesley Snipes came back, you know? He paid his, like, giant tax fine in America.
Oh, Wesley Snipes.
Nice paying it. He's paying it off with acting again.
Yep. So, also, A Single Man, which is, like, one of the last, like, Oscar-nominated movies. I know, Brian, you're probably excited about this because Julianne Moore is in it.
Oh, yeah. I'll be renting that one immediately.
Wait, is this a romantic comedy? Because it sounds like one.
No, it's like...
It's not, no, I know. It's about the...
It's like the 60s, yeah.
It's like, his lover dies, and they're both gay. Isn't it, like, they kept it a secret to, like, the community or something like that?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. No, it looks like a really good story.
Typical
and,
Oscar stuff.
Yeah, it's one of those movies I would show people, like, I'm educated. I own this movie.
Yes.
Well, isn't it a Coen Brothers movie, too?
No, that's A Serious Man.
Oh. Oh, never mind. I get those two confused all the time.
Yep.
Okay.
So, probably the most exciting release this week is... Iborgs, which is a horrible, like, direct-to-DVD movie starring Adrian Paul from The Highlander Show and Danny Trejo. And the plot is that the government sets up, like, these, like, little webcams with, like, legs, and they run around and surveil everyone, try to, like, stop crimes, but then terrorists take them over and give them weapons, and they start killing people.
Nice.
So, and I really, really thought it was, like, from the, you know, the Asylum. It does all those horrible, like, knockoff movies, like Transmorphers. But it's not. It's from...
I Am Omega.
Yeah, I Am Omega. The Day the Earth Stopped. The 18-year-old virgin. Chris.
One of the best movies. Okay, here's something for you, those who haven't seen this movie. Like, in any, like, cliche house party movie, like, this party that this, like, it takes place is, like, 3 days long for, like, a... three out for like a what a four party
yeah
like that. It's ridiculous, like whoever made this movie had no sense of time. They were just like god, that movie was so terrible.
It was
terribly good. I don't know, so many weird things about that movie that like I forgave it.
God, you know,
it's the Bastardized, like
it's the bastard son that you just have to love because it's you. Like, I stare into that movie stares back at me.
That's a scary thought, Chris.
I know.
Especially considering that one scene that's in there.
What one scene? There's like three scenes.
The shaving scene.
Oh, God. All right.
So anyway.
I was talking about that up to the old man scene.
Oh, yeah, that too. Anyway, moving on. Stuff coming out on Blu-ray this week. Jason and the Argonauts, the classic Ray Harryhausen, yeah, Ray Harryhausen, right? Yeah. Did all stop motion stuff.
Right. Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. So that's really like Clash of Titans.
I don't know my Bible.
Your Bible. That wasn't the Bible story, Chris.
You sure?
Yeah, that was a Greek mythology movie. Sorry.
Yeah.
Same thing. You're it's fine.
He's trying to get the gold piece. Right. You fight skeletons. And then there's a bunch of, like, Blu-ray combo packs coming out, like two movie packs. So we got Last Man Standing and Last Boy Scout, so, like, the Bruce Willis pack.
The last pack.
The last pack.
The last pack, yeah. Last Man Standing was pretty kind of awesome.
It didn't do well in the theaters, but I love it.
Like, Christopher Walken is the bad guy, and, like, Bruce Willis shoots pistols that have, like, unlimited rounds. Like, he never fucking stopped shooting.
It was such... Wait. Hold on. Let me... Who, like, started it?
Christopher Walken, Bruce Willis, and then there's, like, a bunch of, like, character actors. I'm not sure who they are. The...
See what I mean? Well, it came out in 96.
Yeah. Then also, while you looked it up, Chris, Funny Farm and Spies Like Us, so the Chevy Chase pack. One of those movies is good. I don't know about the other one. And then the Magic Pack, which is Practical Magic and Witches of Eastwick.
Wow.
Which I think that would be way better if it was Hocus Pocus and Teen Witch.
Oh, God.
You can't top that.
Oh, you can't. So, did you find that, Chris, yet?
Really, I don't know half these actors that show up. Like, one guy was on Lost, William Sanderson.
Yeah, it's like a bunch of character actors. No one, like, it's that guy's. That get blown away.
It's a bunch of Italian guys.
They get blown away by Bruce Willis.
Yeah. I really like their names, though. Like, Joe Monday.
Joe Monday.
Hickey.
Yep.
Whatever. It's a really just action movie. I don't watch it for, like, the plot.
And I love, like... When Bruce Willis, like, I think, like, the first guy he shoots, like, he blasts him out the door with pistols, and he was, like, flying, like, 50 feet out the door.
I just remember in the end when he gets the shit kicked out of him, and Bruce Willis is, like, up.
Mm-hmm.
Then he does a shootout as he's, like, half dying. Like, that was a cool scene.
That's a slow-mo in that movie, too.
Oh, yeah.
So, why don't we get into our discussion topic for the week, which is...
The ghost nuts, motherfucker. I don't care who you are back in the world. You give up position one more time, I'll bleed you. Real quiet. Leave you here. Got that?
Predators is out this week. The Robert Rodriguez produced sequel. So we thought we'd talk about the previous four Predator movies. Just like what our thoughts, favorite scenes from those, thoughts on them. That kind of thing. So starting out with... Arguably the manliest movie ever made, Predator, the original.
Yes. Awesome.
Like, I don't know what you can say about that movie except that it's fucking awesome.
Pretty much, it's...
Okay, so, yeah, what's your favorite scene?
You know, it almost wasn't awesome, though. I mean, I don't know if you guys have ever seen, but the original, like, prototypes for the Predator looked like a giant beaver. I'm really not kidding. I wish to God I was kidding. But it came really close to being, like... a sci-fi, like, 3 in the morning made for sci-fi channel movie, you know, like it looked like it could have been really cheesy, and then they just changed all this stuff at the last second. Like, and the guy who was in the aforementioned beaver suit was an unknown stuntman by the name of Jean-Claude Van Damme. So think about that for a minute.
I did hear that part. I didn't hear the beaver looking part.
Well, you know what it looks like? Oh yeah, I'm telling you, if you could find like production art from the first Predator online. It looked like the Predator's body, like how it's kind of just like a big human-looking body, you know? Mm-hmm. But then the head just turned into some weird, like, demon beaver looking thing.
Demon beaver.
Yeah, which demon I know beaver. Sounds horrifying, but it really was not
Protect
working.
The woods! He's gonna eat all our wood! He's gonna make a giant dam!
No!
Yep, yeah, so, Brian, why don't you go favorite scene from Predator, if you can pick one.
I'm blanking on who got their arm shot off.
That was Carl Weathers.
That was Carl Weathers?
Yeah. Yeah.
Apollo Creed.
That scene that they always showed up on, like, when he was on Arrested Development, they always showed that scene.
Yep.
So, probably that or Get to the Chopper.
Get to the Chopper!
Or when they leveled the whole entire forest. That was awesome.
That was awesome.
And true. They really fucking did that.
Oh, the 80s. When no one cared about environmentalism.
Fuck global warming.
Yep. So,
Reagan's our president. Fuck that shit.
Chris?
It'd have to be... What? The, Billy, where he, like, does the standoff on the tree.
Oh,
bridge,
my God, yeah.
And he cuts himself,
goes,
and he doesn't look
goes
like...
insane.
Yeah, but what was his chant? Like, I am a, like, warrior.
Like, didn't he say, like, come get me or something?
Yeah. And he cuts...
He, like, cuts himself with a knife, yeah.
He should have just opened a casino, man. It would have been much better in the long run.
Definitely.
Jip the Predator out. He cuts himself. He's screaming. And thinking, like, oh, it's going to be this epic, like, machete versus Predator thing. And
he just, like, dies out screaming.
Yeah, that's it.
Ah!
Like, what? But as a kid, I was like, oh, man, this is going to be awesome. And, nope, disappointed.
Yeah.
But I still like that scene. I like what it could have been.
Joe?
Oh, undoubtedly, the iconic Arnold Schwarzenegger, Carl Weathers, firm handshake / high five.
Arm wrestling handshake.
With the bulging bicep. Oh, yeah. That was just... a reflection of the times, in my opinion.
I think that's how we should shake hands from now on.
I think that should have been the symbol for, like, racial unity in the United States. It's like, that should have just been blown up and put at bus stops, like, everywhere in the country.
You son
Diversity
of a bitch.
Day.
Yeah, exactly. They're pushing too many pencils.
And, I love the, attack on the village. Where, like, Arnold, like, lifts a truck up by himself and, like, pushes it into the village. But then, like, they just, like, walk through and just, like, destroy every single person in the village with, like, no effort.
Yeah.
It's just, like, classic lines, like, Arnold, like, throws a knife at the guy. He's like, stick around.
Yeah.
And, or, like, Jesse Ventura gets, like, nicked by a bullet and it's like, yo, man, you're bleeding. I ain't got time to bleed.
I got time to bleed.
Yeah.
Love it.
I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus.
And how, Jesse, and how.
And also... I was watching it, like, a couple weeks ago, and, like, there's, like, probably one of the most underrated lines is Bill Duke, where, like, he, like, confronts Carl Weathers. He's like, you ghostless, motherfucker. I'll bleed you. I'll lead you here. Bleed you. Yeah, and then just, like, Arnold, like, making, like, a bow and arrow and, like, a giant tree trunk thing to kill the Predator. Awesome. And then the Predator, like, the classic, like, Predator laugh. Yeah, so Predator is like, it's in the Hall of Fame for action movies.
Yeah, undoubtedly.
Yeah, not so much with Predator 2. Predator 2
no.
With Danny Glover.
The most unbelievable action star.
Danny Glover.
How do you go from Arnold Schwarzenegger to Danny Glover? Like, come on, guys.
He's too old for that shit.
He really is.
And was like,
I mean, at least have Mel Gibson in it too, and just call it like Lethal Weapon 3.
Yes,
you know, that would have been phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
There's a mashup waiting to happen.
Well, wasn't like the Predator was just, like a, like killing drug dealers or something, or like killing drug bill people?
Oh yeah, the tagline was something like he comes to the urban jungle.
Yes.
It was basically Out for Justice, but with the Predator.
Yeah.
It was like that Seagal movie, where it's just like documentary footage of Steven Seagal killing Jamaicans in the street, and like, you know, they just were like, hey, that was a pretty cool movie. Let's put a Predator in there. That'll be sweet.
Yeah. And then Gary Busey shows up.
Like
Agent
he does.
Peter Case.
Yeah. Is he?
Or Peter Keys.
Is he from like the CIA or something? Or like some?
He's just like NSA.
Yeah, some government agency, and they're like. He gives like the one line that like, connects this movie to the last movie, where it's like, there was a team in like South America that got attacked by this thing a couple years ago. There was only one survivor.
Oh yeah.
And like they're like trying to like freeze it with like liquid nitrogen or something, and the predator like kills his entire team.
Well, they hire his. I remember like in the scene they like the team hides in the predator's like secret refrigerator.
Yeah.
And then like they fuck off, and then he's like, ah, I see you, and kills everybody.
Mm-hmm. And then like the end, where like Danny Glover like goes onto like the predator spaceship. And you,
yeah, to hunt him or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was believable.
The hunter is
very believable.
The hunter has become the hunted.
Dude, you might as well have had Officer Winslow versus the Predator. It would have been just as believable for me.
Pretty much, yeah.
And then he gets help from Urkel. That makes sense.
Yeah, Urkel develops like a some sort of like boxing glove gun or something, or like a he drives his car into it.
Spills like gumballs on the floor and it trips and like breaks its neck.
Yeah.
Did I do that?
But then
the predator rips them in half.
Yeah.
The end.
Yep.
This isn't like Danny Glover like kill a predator or something and then like they respect him or something.
They give him a gun. They tell him get off the fucking ship.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. But then in that scene, there was like you could see an alien skull on the wall. So that's like set up like all the Alien versus Predator stuff. Because everyone's like, oh my god, they exist in the same universe.
Dum dum dum.
So, yeah, so Alien vs. Predator. Let's talk about that. Chris?
My favorite. Okay, I have such hatred for this because it's like. It's a good. Like, I read a lot of the comic book movies, comic book before the movies, like The Alien vs. Predator.
Yeah.
When, for the games. It's such a really good, like, you know. Different ends of aliens, because for all we know from the series, like,
well, they fit really good together. They fit really good together.
Yeah, they do, and it's like a coincidence. It's like, you know, when chocolate met peanut butter, or,
yep.
You know, or like when Italians met,
other Italians.
That's a bad one. I'm not saying that one. but yeah, it's a good, like, mix. So when the movie came out, I was like hoping, oh man, like, hopefully it's gonna take place, like, in space. It's gonna take place in, like, future, you know?
Yeah.
It took place in, like, the middle of fucking nowhere. With,
Antarctica.
Like, Aztecs.
Antarctica, and there's, like,
you know,
a fucking Mayan pyramid underneath the ice.
Yeah, like, what? And then the fact that, the Predators, like, I like that concept. Like, Predators come to Earth, and, like, they must do, like, a riot of
it's like their training, the final training or something.
Training,
yeah.
That's fine, but then, like, I'm trying to think, like, that kind of makes sense, but that seems unnecessary when they can't control anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, this is terrible training. This is like giving a cop
like,
a gun, like, all right, go do justice.
Because the fucking pyramid is like constantly shifting.
Yeah. Like, what? Okay. And then like a group of like environmentalists.
Well, it's like, no, it's like an archaeological team or something led by Waylon.
Lance Henderson.
Yeah, who's like Waylon.
Charles Bishop, yeah. I couldn't figure out, like, why they decided to make, like, robots out of him in the future.
Well, I don't know. Because he was, like, the founder of, like, he was one of the founders of Weyland-Yutani, so.
Right.
Then he
got, just
but then
like,
he got,
okay,
then he got fucking killed in, like, the Arctic Temple, so.
Right. It doesn't make any sense. Like, that's, like, this doesn't make any sense at all. I just remember, like, the one scene where, like,
remember, like, the Predators don't kill him because he has cancer or something?
But they don't kill him. He doesn't kill him first. But he turns around and like, don't you pity me. And he, like, makes a makeshift flamethrower of, like, hairspray and a lighter.
Yes.
And it doesn't work at all.
Yeah.
So the Predator just kills him anyway. I was like, okay, whatever. But then, like, I just remember, like, it's a very cliche horror movie. Because it was just like, oh, like, it happens to Star Predators. Because, like, the Predators and aliens hunt the humans. Remember the taglines, like, whoever wins, we lose?
Yes.
Like,
also, like,
I lost. We all lost big.
Like, the alien, like, growth period is, like, ridiculously short, too.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, 5 minutes, we have, like, full-grown aliens.
Like, The movie was just so ridiculous. Like, the one part that stood up above the rest for me, let me just finish the part, was when near the end of the movie, we're like, there's all of it is just one predator and the black chick.
Yes.
And the predator, like, makes her a weapon.
Yes, that's like, what I was going to talk about.
The fucking, like, hand puppet alien head.
Because she, like, accidentally kills an alien or something. So, like, she becomes, like, a member of the tribe. She gets, like,
the tribe of one guy.
An alien skull head, like, shield and, like, a spear out of the tail and stuff.
I just remember, it's like, oh, you made me a hand puppet. Like, I said in the theater. I went to the movie theater. It was me, Joe, and a couple of my old friends. And we went, and, like, everyone we saw this movie did not take this movie seriously. As soon as like it got to the point where, when that really butch lesbian gets killed, like I think the movie theaters silently agreed that we're not gonna give this movie like a chance to be entertaining. Like we all just made fun of it. No, it was like a live rip track with like 30 people. And
it's kind of awesome in that way because it's like it's so horrible that it's just like awesome to make fun of.
I know, you can make fun of her so many
like
reasons.
That Italian guy. He's just like...
Oh,
he's like, the only one who like knows like what the hell is going on. Cause he came, like,
well, he
like,
had the bottle cap. He had the bottle cap that put him lost. See what I mean? What the fuck does that have to do in an Aliens movie? But it's like, this is an old bottle cap. It brought me luck. And then he fucking dies.
Yep.
I was like, what? And then I remember, at the end of the movie,
the alien queen like bursts out of the ice, and then like they throw it up.
And they have a slow mo run away sequence, with a maskless predator and a black woman. So it looked like two black people running away from a giant like black alien. Is this some sort of in a white background like in a snowy Arctic? So I'm like, is this some sort of like comment to some sort of community? I don't know. I'm not saying it's racist.
I think
the sequel didn't do any better.
I think you dig too deep into these things, Chris.
Maybe, but this movie's driving me so much madness. Like, 18-year-old virgin, it made sense. You know, like, some slutty girl wants to get banged before she turns 19. Whatever, I don't care. This movie's just like, but this is like a respected sci-fi franchise. At least in my head it is, but...
Well,
I'm so angry. Well,
it was two respected franchises combined into one horrible franchise.
It's like, what if the Star Wars franchise and the Star Trek franchise combined into one, try to make one awesome movie?
That would be awesome, though.
And instead, what they did was try to win some sort of dance competition.
Yeah.
That's what the fucking movie was about to me.
So, Brian, any thoughts about Alien vs. Predator, the first one?
I never saw it. So
you never saw it? Oh, my God.
I think we got to owe ourselves this summer to watch it when I show up sometime.
Maybe.
It's definitely worth a look. Just to see how bad it is. And then a couple years later, we got Alien vs. Predator Requiem, which because R-rated. Because Alien vs. Predator was PG-13, which pissed a lot of people off.
Oh, my God, yeah.
So this was R-rated. And it picks up, like, directly after the first one, where, like, one of the dead predators has, like, he got face-hugged, so he's, like, there's a pred alien now. Yeah, like, pretty much, like, kills everyone on the ship. The Predator chip.
Like, they never did, like, some sort of scan or anything, some sort of alien future technology, like...
Then they called, like, that one Predator guy who just, like, flies off.
The cleaner.
The most badass Predator.
He comes out of his throne, like, ugh, time to go to work.
Yep.
And that's it?
Yeah.
He's the one Predator that's supposed to clean up this one small area and, like, some part of, like...
It's like
Maine?
I think it's, like, the Northwest, or, like, Oregon or something, or Washington.
Oregon?
Yeah.
I think it's Seattle or some shit like that.
Yeah.
Because it was in a forest for a lot
some
of...
Some small town out of, like, outside of Seattle or something. And I just love, like...
Pacific Northwest.
Pacific Northwest, yeah.
I guess you could call it that.
I just love, like, the first characters we see are, like, this dad and his, like, little kid hunting, and they get face hugs.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, I never seen a little kid get face hugged before, so I thought that was awesome.
Yeah.
So I had high hopes. I had really high hopes for, like, this part of the movie making, like, a really good, like... Record. I'm like, yes, the title makes sense. I'm gonna like, it's gonna try to beg for forgiveness, and I'm trying to give it to it.
Then like every fucking.
But then it becomes sort of.
I was gonna say like every fucking character in the movie is like a stereotype.
It became some sort of teenage drama.
It did. It was like there's like the nerdy pizza delivery guy who like wanted the hot chick, but like she was dating Jock.
Well, he was a nerdy. It's just he was a troubled youth because his brother was like.
Oh yeah, then the. Yeah, his older brother came back to town because he was like the bad boy. Came back to town. He was
an ex-con.
Yeah.
And, like, the sheriff, like, gives him shit, because it's like, you know, you're, it's like, oh, you're like your younger brother, but you just came back from jail. Like, the fucking sheriff's just, like, giving him warnings. Like, a stereotypical thing. Like when Rambo came back and, like, was wandering around this woodsy village.
Yeah.
In the first movie, when First Blood. So, like, I was like, okay, this can't get too cliche. And it did. The guy, the nerd gets bullied by a bunch of jocks.
Yep.
He falls in love with, like, a cheerleader. You know, I was like, really? When did this one, who changed the fucking reel in this movie? I was so confused.
And, like, Michelle Dessler shows up. It's like she was like in Iraq or something. And she comes back,
oh my
and like
God.
Her daughter's like scared of her. And then like,
the best sequence of like this movie taught me one thing was like don't love anybody. Like you,
yes.
You will have to abandon everyone you love. Like the good scene was like mommy, there's something out my window. So she gives like daughter like high grade binoculars, infrared binoculars,
like fishing goggles or something.
All right, and then no, nothing's out there. And the dad's like, oh, let me go check, and gets fucking killed. And instead of like the guy isn't even dead yet, I think he's like fighting the alien. Instead of the woman like just grabs her daughter. The woman's name is Kelly.
Yeah,
and she fucking grabs like. Her daughter Molly and runs books it like okay that makes sense. You just came back from the war and your husband's now like being eaten by an alien like shit.
Where's your gun?
Yeah, like shouldn't an army person be prepared for like anything? Yeah, anything.
Yeah, there's like the pred alien like just go and like rape the entire like pregnancy ward or something.
It doesn't make. I don't understand. Like, see, here's a weird thing about the predator like lore, the alien lore. It's like if you face hug something, you become you have.
The features of that
sort
thing,
yeah. Right. So shouldn't a predator be, like, logical and not be so animalistic as an alien?
I don't know.
Okay, I'm just wondering, but...
Because, like, aliens face-hug people and they don't become people. Like,
no,
not, like,
when aliens face-hug people, they become the classic alien.
Yeah.
So, but, like... I imagine when, like, you become a giant alien, like, you lose all, like...
Try just more, like... I mean, you try more genetic...
Okay, yeah, I guess. It was still pretty awesome to see, like, a weird alien hybrid, because they... Again, like, you ever seen Alien Resurrection?
No.
Well, there's this, like, really weird human alien where they had more human DNA than alien.
Yeah, didn't...
And it became this huge albino
Didn't Ripley give birth to that thing?
No, not Ripley. The fucking queen did.
Oh, the queen did, yeah.
They use reverse DNA processing where, like, this alien had more human DNA than, like, inside the queen or something. It was something really dumb about, like, cloning and shit.
Wasn't, like, Ripley, like, a clone and she had, like, alien DNA in her?
Right. And then they made a clone of the clone and that was the alien queen because they... Apparently when you clone someone who's been, like, alien-eyed or face-hugged, like, your DNA gets weird. And
yeah.
You have, like, really weird therapy. So, like... I don't know. It was really awkward, but that's why it's not the best alien movie. I still like it for like it being a good horror movie, but you know, not a true alien movie. But in this movie, like,
I got
the fucking they break the rules of what this like what aliens can do, and the one scene that was like one worth it, like okay, I can imagine like this was just weird to see, was when the predator alien like face hugs a pregnant chick.
Yep.
And that scene was so like really weird to watch.
Well, I think my favorite scene in that whole movie is, like, when they're, like, the group is, like, trying to escape through the hospital, I think, and then the hot chick that the nerd likes,
impaled.
Predator discs to the wall, and she just hangs there.
Like, unintentionally, too, right?
Yeah, I think unintentionally, like, there was, like, an alien behind her or something, maybe, but just Predator just chucks the thing and, like, impales her.
I think that was the one point in the movie theater where we're watching it, when that happens, everyone cheered.
I was like, fuck you!
Because it's, like... This movie's so, like, it plays like a zombie movie. They all run to a hospital. They're all trying to figure out a way to escape. They call a helicopter.
Yeah,
doesn't
the army show up at one point?
Yeah, the army shows up. They get wiped out. Like, I'm like, this is an alien movie. This is a fucking weird zombie movie. Space zombie.
Then they, nuke the entire town.
Yeah, they did an outbreak where they just dropped a fucking...
Fuel air bomb, yeah. Or something. And like, is Kelly and Molly are, like, the only ones left or something, and, like, some other...
No. And then the two brothers
the
and the...
Guy, yeah.
Mother, yeah, like, they're fine. They crash land in the woods, and they're just, like, arrested or some shit like that, but, like, they're fine.
Yeah, and then there's, like, that super weird, like, ending where it's, like, here's the predator weapon, Miss Yutani.
Yeah, like, Oh, I can't figure out. I was like, how did that one survive the whole? Oh no, the mom had the gun in her possession. She like picked it up the floor.
Yeah.
So, how is that advanced technology again? Like, it wasn't like it did anything. It just was like really weird gun.
It was like a plasma gun.
Okay. it was really disappointing. I just like the fact that like a predator. It gave some background to the predator where like they clean up after themselves. Like he had that.
Oh yeah, the blue gel or whatever. Like the melt
blue gel that was like the most strong OxyClean I've ever seen.
It just like melts people's flesh. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like kaboom, boom, yeah.
Didn't he use that like the hunter in the kid's body?
Yeah, he did that to that. He did that in the pool. He did that to the sewer.
Yeah, he just also in the sewer. Didn't he have like it's like awesome like laser defense grid and stuff, like mines and all that stuff.
I can't remember that one too well.
Because he was like in the sewer and like all the ants were like attacking him, so it's like. He set up like this like crazy like mind defense grid or something.
Sort of, I don't know. There's certain chunks I just don't remember because my brain like won't allow it.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen that one. Like Alien vs. Alien vs. Predator, like the first one is like it's on FX all the time.
Yeah, I've noticed.
So, but are you guys excited for Predators, Brian?
Robert Rodriguez is involved,
yeah.
So I feel pretty good. The Red Band trailer was kind of cool, but I feel this could go either way.
Mm-hmm.
Adrian Brody. What's his name? Adrian Brody. Like, I can't see him as an action star. I see him as like the pianist. I see him kind of yell at King Kong, but like I can't see him.
It's con man.
Yeah, but and then like
they could have chosen someone better.
Yeah, they could have shown someone.
And Topher Grace is in this movie, too.
Topher Grace?
Yeah.
He doesn't have, like, Venom on him. He's not Red Foreman anymore, so I don't know.
But I think Lawrence Fishburne could, like, save the movie.
Yeah, Lawrence Fishburne could say, like, something stereotypically, like, black.
I'm the one they don't fuck with. And then, like, he's got, like, the crazy, like, double, like, Predator guns or something. Like, crazy Predator guns that he uses and...
Well, he's supposed to be like he's been surviving the longest.
Yeah, we
in the
talked about this last week, Chris.
On, like the planet. Okay, yeah.
So
coming back to me.
So I think it looks pretty awesome. So a couple of us maybe we'll see it next week. So
I might see it like Thursday when it comes out. Me and like three people in the whole theater. I'll take pictures if that happens. So I'm just the only one in that movie theater.
That'd be awesome.
Let us know.
Yep.
All right.
So. Anyway, we're going to wrap this up for tonight. If you want more from us, you can go to www.everythingaction.com. You can email us at contact@everythingaction.com. We're on Facebook. You can become a fan there. iTunes. Go to iTunes Music Store and search for Everything Action Cast. And subscribe. Give us a rating. Leave us some comments. Also on the iTunes Store, you can find our app where you can listen to episodes and see like was like the past 20 articles on it, Brian. Okay. And Twitter, follow the website on Twitter, twitter.com/EVAction. So, yep, that's going to do it for us this week. For Brian, Chris, and Joe, I'm Zach, and we'll see you next week.